Hebrews chapter 5. We'll be reading one verse tonight, actually three verses, starting in verse 12. You want to learn something tonight? Great. Keep your Bibles open, please. Don't close them up. We're going to be going to several scriptures. We won't bore you. Promise you we won't keep you long. We never do. But we want to just give you what God's laid on our heart tonight. And just, I think, something that needs to be preached. When I was first getting into the ministry, this 1994, September the 18th, was my first message. And when I first started, our old pastor, Brother Delbert Evans, was still living. And he was, how many of you knew Brother Deb? You ever got to, many of you? A lot of you haven't. And I hate it that he didn't preach a lot. We have some real old cassettes. I don't even know if they would even play now. They're so old. But we do have a couple of things, a couple of messages. But he preached uniquely. No one ever preached like him or ever will preach like him. Hardly ever a sermon goes by that Calvin or myself don't mention something about him. He was a great man of God. But Brother Deb would always tell us young preachers starting out. He said, number one, you want to pray for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. And number two, you want to pray for the discernment of the Holy Spirit. How many of you believe we need discernment? We do. Before I read the text, I want to just take you back just a little bit. I have always loved game shows. I have. And as a kid growing up, watched a lot of game shows. Price is Right, probably my favorite. I guess it runs in my family because my Uncle Danny has been on Wheel of Fortune. He helped the lady next to him win a lot of money. Sure did. Solved the whole puzzle and then got a bankrupt, and that was it. It's awful. I felt so bad for him. And then his son, my cousin Josh, has been on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Wheel of Fortune. And I'm still waiting on that tithe check he promised me. Haven't got that yet. Of course, I don't know how much Uncle Sam took from him. He might not come back with just a case of pop by the time it was all done with. But I always have loved game shows. And one of the ones you may not remember, it wasn't very popular, it was a few years back. It's called To Tell the Truth. Remember that? Okay. Now, if you love you shaking your heads, but those in the back around Abby's age had no idea what I'm talking about. So let me very quickly explain it to you. Pretty much you'd have three contestants that came out, and they said they were all the same person. And it was up to the panel of judges. There was about four of them. Usually there were celebrity judges. And then even in later years, they would bring in the audience to participate. And the host would read a biography of the person. And then the panel, celebrity panel, would ask each contestant questions. And they had to make them and the audience believe they were who they said they were. The game was you had to guess which one was telling the truth. I went back, and thank God for internet, because I went back and YouTube has some old To Tell the Truth programs. And I went back and I watched one, and I was amazed. The questions they asked, they'd all pointed to one lady that was an owner of some exercise program. And here she was. All the judges agreed it was number two. The audience agreed, 60%, that it was number two. And wouldn't you know it, it was number three. You say, why are you telling me that? I'm telling you that because one lady was able to convince four celebrity judges and a majority of the audience that day that she was somebody else. They were unable to discern who was telling the truth. I'll give it to you in another example. I have twins in my family. My uncle that I just mentioned, he has twin daughters. Their names are Andrea and Allison. If they would step into this church tonight, I would not be able to tell them apart. They are identical twins. We don't see them a lot very much. We see one of them. One of them's overseas. But we used to see them at Christmas, and as soon as they walked in the door, we would say, "Who are you?" We had to, because all day long we'd be calling them the wrong name. I know the Millers are here tonight. They probably never had that problem with Caleb and Kyle. But even at church camp, "Which one are you?" And so but if I would ask my Uncle Danny which one of these is which, he would know, because he lives with them. He spends more time with them, of course. I only saw them maybe once a year. I couldn't tell them apart because I didn't spend any time with them. I was unable to discern who was who because I hadn't spent any time with them. And here's the problem we have in our church world today, and among many of you, and maybe even myself. I'm preaching this to myself tonight. The problem is we're listening to the wrong voice. And we are unable to discern what God is telling us apart from what Satan is telling us. There are two voices that will try to control your mind. There's the voice of God and the voice of Satan. And it's up to us as a child of God to discern who is telling the truth. So that brings us to our text. The Hebrew writer here is writing to Judaic Christians. They were contemplating on going back into Judaism, and he writes in chapter 5, verse 12, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And here's the text verse tonight. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said there's a group of people among you that have exercised their senses enough, they are strong in the faith, and they can discern what is good and what is evil. So I'm asking you tonight, who's telling the truth? Which voice are you listening to? But see, the problem is, we can't discern what God is telling us apart from what Satan is telling us. So what we're going to do, my job for tonight, and this is what we're going to learn, my job for us is to figure out if God is telling us something and if Satan is telling it. We're going to break him down, we're going to tell us what God's going to tell us, and then we're going to show us what Satan's telling us, and then we should be able to discern by the end of the night who you're listening to. First of all, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here's the problem, and here's why we have the problem discerning before we get into the heart of the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. If you have it, say amen. Okay. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. See, here's the problem, and here's why we have the problem discerning what is of God and what is of Satan. Because so many times we have pictured Satan as coming with a pitchfork and with a red suit and a tail, and we're able to discern right away if it's coming from Satan. But listen, he comes as an angel of light. And that's why so many of us have a problem discerning what is of God and what is of Satan, because so many times Satan disguises the truth. So, number one, how can we discern what's God telling us and what Satan's telling us? Turn, if you would, with me, and this is what God is telling us. John chapter 14. Here's what, and you all know this, you could probably quote it with me. John 14 verse 6. John 14 verse 6. This is what God tells us, okay? John 14 6. Everyone with me tonight? Everyone, okay. John 14 6. This is what Jesus tells us. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Read that with me again. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When Jesus speaks to us, He speaks to us in three ways. He says, it's right here, a great outline. He says, first of all, I am the way. The way. The way, the way means, it gives us a connotation that it's a path, it is a method, it is a means, it is a form of progress. But see, what the devil gives us in place of that, he doesn't give us a path, he gives us an opportunity. And he gives us a chance. God says, what I'm giving to you is a plain path. I want to show you the way that you can go. I want to show you the way that you can live every day of your life. I want to show you something that you can be rooted and firmly planted in the Word of God. I am something that you can follow every day, and I will not steer you wrong. No, if you follow me, I am the way. I will lead you in the right direction. What the devil gives us is a suggestion. The devil will never give you anything that'll show you down the road. The devil always gives you this. Well, just do it one time. Listen to me, young people. The devil says, I will give this, just give it one chance. Just one opportunity. Just smoke this thing one time. Just drink this beer one time. Just send that text message one time. Just cuss that man out one time. That's what the devil will tell you. Jesus says, I'm the way. You can be firmly rooted and grounded and follow me, and I will not lead you astray. But what the devil says, just one time. Just one chance. One suggestion. He suggests to do things one time, but Jesus says, I am the way. What's he also say? He also said, not only is he the way, but he's what? The truth. Jesus is the truth. Do you agree with that? Of course we do. But listen, let's break it down just a little bit further. Anything that God does for us can be talked about or revealed. Okay? What Satan does for us, we can never tell anybody. It's secretive. When you were under the Satan's authority, before you were saved, how many of you have made this statement? When I was out in sin, I'd done things that I can't even mention in this place. You know where that was from? That was from Satan. That was straight from the pits of hell. But if God does something for you, you can't keep it to yourself. Hallelujah. It's truthful. It's honest. It's pure. And when God does something for us, you don't want to keep it secret. No, you want to tell somebody about it. But when you do something wrong, you know what you do? You'll hide. Hold on. I'm about ready to preach. Just look at it. When addicts, adulterers, do they want to reveal what they've done? Of course not. They want to hide it. You know why? Because that stuff's from the pit of hell. That's why they do. Anything that's secretive, it's coming from Satan. That's good preaching. How many of you just want to stand up in church and say, well, I would have been here during revival, but you know what? I had some shopping to do. No, you don't want to tell a single soul. You know why? Because it was wrong. Boy, that's good preaching. Hypocrites will do the same thing. They'll hide. They're not anxious to tell nobody about the life they're living. No, they want to put on a front when they come to the house of God. They want to hide who they really are. You know what that is? That's straight from the pits of hell. But when Jesus does something for us, hallelujah, we cannot keep it a secret. We got to tell somebody how good Jesus has been. Hallelujah. Whoop, hallelujah, glory to God. Can't keep it to ourselves, can we? When God does something good. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and what thirdly? What did he say? I am the life. The word life in the Greek is zoe, which means to be alive. The problem with many of us, we're in a rut, we're in a routine, we're in a cycle of dull living. And you know why you're there? Because Satan wants you to be there. But Jesus said, when I come into your life, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. When we live for Jesus and when we serve Him, yes, we may go through the same routine. We may do the same things every day, but there's an excitement about it. There's a joy about it. Why? Because when we serve the Lord, thank God He gives us life. He gives us life and gives us excitement. And, you know, we talk all the time about people. How are we going to maintain good Christianity? What are the three things you all need to do in order to be a good Christian? Number one, read your Bible. Number two, pray every day. Number three, come to church. And some of y'all just hear that and say, well, that's just boring. No, it ain't. When you got Jesus in your heart and you're living for God, right? It's exciting. It's exciting to get in God's Word. You know why? Because it's alive. It's exciting to come to the house of God. You know why? Because it's alive. It's exciting to pray. You know why? Because our prayers can move the hand of God. I'm telling you what, folks, we need to be excited and have joy when it comes to serving God because He is the life. And if you're in a rut, in a routine, in a state of dull living, Satan wants you to stay right there. He wants you to stay disconnected. He wants you to stay isolated instead of enjoying your Christian walk. You know what the problem is? Some of you have had an emotional experience. You've had a religious experience. Maybe you've even had a psychological experience. But it's done nothing to change your life. You know why? Because you need to get Jesus. You need to get good and saved. Religion won't get you anywhere. Psychology won't get you anywhere. An emotional high will not get you anywhere. You'll come crashing down as high as you went up. But thank God, when you have Jesus, thank God you have joy. You have life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm serving a God that's alive. Glory to God. What's John 10:10 say? The thief cometh not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that I can give you life. And life more about it. You know what? You know what serving God will do? It'll cause you to dance without a song being played. It'll cause you to sing, thank God, without a song being played. It'll cause you to come to church when you don't feel like it. Hallelujah. It'll cause you to tithe when you don't understand what's going on. It'll cause you to pray for people that you may not even know. Thank God, I'm telling you, serving God is a joy. Whew. Glory to God. That's good preaching, isn't it? Okay, so that's what God tells us. He is what? The way, the truth, and the life. He's a path. He's a path. He's a plain path. Satan will lead you just to give you a chance, just to do it once. He's the truth. He's the life. But what does Satan tell us? Well, what's Satan? Well, let's turn to John. Chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. We're going to tell you what Satan is. A lot of this is simple stuff, but we just need to understand it. We need to believe it. John 8, 44. Okay. This is Jesus' words talking about Satan himself. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because, and I have this underlined, there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's what Satan will do. He will lie to you. He lies. In fact, let's say it this way. He's the original liar. You say, how do you know that? Because he said it right there. He's the father of it. He's the original liar. And I guarantee this. I can 100% guarantee any problem or any situation that you have in your life, you can trace it back where you believed a lie that Satan has told you. You go back far enough and you trace it back, It's because you listened to the devil and you started believing what he said. Devil says you need more stuff. So you go out and you buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like. And I'll add one more, with money you don't have. Devil lies to you and says your spouse doesn't care for you. So you'll start looking elsewhere. Satan will tell you, you don't have to be under anybody's authority. But everybody is under someone else's authority. Here's a big one. Satan will tell you, well, you're not happy. So go to another church. Satan will tell you, oh, you're not happy. So why don't you try that other yahoo? You're not happy, so why don't you try that other loser? You're not happy, so why don't you go and have another job? And so what you do, you're in trying your life, you're trying to search and find happiness. And I don't mean to drop a bomb on you, but I'm about ready to. God is not concerned about your happiness. I know, hey, here it is. It's a big pill. Take it, swallow it. But I'm telling you the truth. God is not concerned about your happiness. Nope. No, he's not. No. He's concerned about your joy. Because can I drop another bomb on you? You're not going to be happy all the time. No, you're not. I'm sorry. You're going to have bad days. It's not good news whenever the doctor says you've got cancer. It's not good news whenever things happen in your life and it turns your world upside down. It's not good news when you got more meth than you do money and you don't know where the money's going to come from. That's not a happy time. That's why God's not concerned about your happiness, because when you got joy, you can raise your hands to heaven and say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor is seed begging bread. By his stripes you are going to heal me. Thank God, that's what joy is all about. It's not about a happiness. It's about having joy in Jesus Christ. And that's good preaching. Hallelujah. You know what else the devil will tell you and lie to you about? That you'll never have to suffer. That's a lie. Jesus said himself, if you're going to reign with me, you're going to have to suffer with me. And I'm just not talking that that's physical suffering or spiritual suffering. I'm talking about it covers a whole gamut of things. But I'm telling you what, sometimes we're going to have to suffer. But can I also tell you this? It's in those times of suffering that we really learn who Jesus is. Sometimes people are going to lie about you. They're going to cheat you. They're going to call you all names under the book and even make something up. But I'm telling you what, if you have joy and if you learn to suffer with Christ, thank God one of these days, hallelujah, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess and you're going to be reigning with Jesus forever and ever, and you're going to say, Lord, I was glad to suffer with you. Okay. Did you swallow that? Okay, let's move on. You're probably saying, thank the Lord. Good, turn with me to Revelation. Here's what else Satan is. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. I'm hurrying. I promise I'm hurrying. Revelation 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, 10. Here, what else Satan is. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Here it is. I have this underlined. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So number one, Satan is a liar. And number two, he's an accuser. You all know this, right? Accuser of the brethren. Okay, that's important. Of our brethren. You understand why he put that in there?
I'm talking about church folk. I'm about Christians, those that are serving God. He finds fault. He blames. He will taunt and tempt the Christian. And you know how he does it? Here's what an accusation is all about. Without proof, reality, fact, or truth, he's an accuser. That's what accusations are all about. And I have a little Mark Bear that comes out at me at some of the media sometimes. Because some of it's true, but most of it's not. But what they'll do, they'll go through and just berate somebody and tell them how bad they are. And they say, well, this is all accusation. Can I tell you something that you may know, but let me just remind you, accusation is not the truth. An accusation is something you come up with without proof, without truth, or without fact. And that's what Satan does to every one of us. He accuses us. He accuses us. He's an accuser. You know what he'll tell us? He'll say, well, Pastor Cal didn't talk to you this morning. I bet he don't like you. Won't he? He'll accuse without proof. Well, so-and-so didn't shake my hand today, so, well, wonder how snobby they are. They're stuck up. That's what he'll tell you. Well, I saw so-and-so at Walmart, and they didn't even acknowledge me. Well, God bless your little heart. I got three words for you. Get over it. And number two, five words. Don't listen to the devil. He's an accuser. That's what it is. He's good at it. I'm not giving him glory. I'm just telling you, he's a professional accuser. And all he'll do is lie and accuse and to make you think things about people that aren't true. I'm telling you what, folks, that's his job. And some of you are listening to him. And you can't have joy in your life because you just keep listening to him and think everybody hates you. What may I tell you tonight? God loves you. The church loves you. But Satan will do everything to tear you down. Finally, what else is he? Well, I read it already to you, but let me repeat it. Here's what Satan, number one, will lie. Number two, he'll what? Accuse. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan does thirdly. He steals, he kills, and destroy. You know what he wants to do? In closing tonight, you know what he wants to do? He wants to take away something of value in your life. And he'll do anything he can to make that happen. And most of that involves the first two points, lying and accusing. Because his ultimate goal is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And a lot of people, and I know you've heard this from your pastor and from others, what could be worse than killing? That's why he put destroyed. Because sometimes things happen in our lives that we wish we are dead. But we're not. Because we've been destroyed by words, accusations, and things that Satan has drummed up and told other people about us. I'm telling you what, folks, some of you maybe have even stood up in your own mind and in your own heart and said, you know what, it would be a lot easier if death was here, but I'm destroyed because of what Satan has done to my life. I'm telling you, that's his job. That's what he wants to do to every one of us. And you know what he's doing? He's not attacking us from the outside. Listen to me very good. He's attacking us from the inside. And he goes even further than that. It's coming inside your homes, in your marriages, and in your own heart. He wants to steal your heart, to steal your marriage, to steal your kids, and to ultimately steal the church of God. But may I got good news for you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I do not have to listen to his lies. Thank God some of you, as the trio sing sometimes, we need to come to this altar and say, I'm taking back what the devil's tried to steal from me. I need to say, I'm not going to listen to Satan anymore. I'm going to discern the voice of God. And listen, when you begin to follow God, hallelujah, there can be joy in your life. If you're a child, if you're a sinner tonight and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, stop listening to the lies of Satan. Thank God you have not done too much. You're not too old. You're not too young. I'm telling you what, Satan will lie and tell you, wait another time. But thank God you've got an opportunity tonight. Thank God to come and give your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he can give you life and life more abundantly. Stop listening to Satan, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So who are you listening to tonight? Who are you listening to?